Chapter 19. For 24s, per month wages, and to be kept in constant service or half pay when idle, is really better to the seamen than 45s. Per month, as they now take it, considering how long they often lie idle on shore out of pay, for the extravagant price of seamen's wages, though it has been an intolerable burden to trade, has not visibly enriched the sailors, and they may as well be content with 24s per month now as formerly. On the other hand, trade would be sensibly revived by it, the intolerable price of freights would be reduced, and the public would reap an immense benefit by the payments mentioned in the proposal, as 1. 4s per month upon the wages of all the seamen employed by the merchant, which, if we allow 200,000 seamen always in employ, as there cannot be less in all the ships belonging to England, is £40,000 per month. 2. 40s per ton freight upon all goods imported. 3. 4% on the value of all goods exported or imported. 4. 10s per chaldron upon all the coal shipped at Newcastle, and 1% on the ships which carry them. What these four articles would pay to the exchequer yearly it would be very difficult to calculate, and I am too near the end of this book to attempt it. But I believe no tax ever given since this war has come near it. It is true, out of this the public would be, to pay half pay to the seamen who shall be out of employ, and all the losses and damages on goods and ships, which, though it might be considerable, would be small, compared to the payment aforesaid. For as the premium of 4% is but small, so the safety lies upon all men, being bound to insure. For I believe anyone will grant me this. It is not the smallness of a premium ruins the insurer, but it is the smallness of the quantity he insures. And I am not at all ashamed to affirm that, let but a premium of £4% be paid into one man's hand for all goods imported and exported, and any man may be the general insurer of the kingdom, and yet that premium can never hurt the merchant either. So that the vast revenue this would raise would be felt nowhere. Neither poor nor rich would pay the more for coals. Foreign goods would be brought home cheaper, and our own goods carried to market cheaper. Owners would get more by ships, merchants by goods, and losses by sea would be no loss at all to anybody, because repaid by the public stock. Another unseen advantage would arise by it. We should be able to outwork all our neighbors, even the Dutch themselves, by sailing as cheap and carrying goods as cheap in a time of war as in peace, an advantage which has more in it than is easily thought of, and would have a noble influence upon all our foreign trade. For what could the Dutch do in trade, if we could carry our goods to Cadiz at 50s per ton freight, and they give £8 or £10, and the like in other places, whereby we could be able to sell cheaper, or get more than our neighbors? There are several considerable clauses might be added to this proposal, some of great advantage to the general trade of the kingdom, some to particular trades, and more to the public, but I avoid being too particular in things which are but the product of my own private opinion. If the government should ever proceed to the experiment, no question but much more than has been hinted at would appear, nor do I see any great difficulty in the attempt, or who would be aggrieved at it, and there I leave it, rather wishing than expecting to see it undertaken. The conclusion. Upon a review of the several chapters of this book, I find that, instead of being able to go further, some things may have suffered for want of being fully expressed, which if any person object against, I only say, I cannot now avoid it. I have endeavored to keep to my title, and offered but an essay, which anyone is at liberty to go on with as they please, for I can promise no supplement. As to errors of opinion, though I am not yet convinced of any, yet I nowhere pretend to infallibility. However, I do not willingly assert anything which I have not good grounds for. If I am mistaken, let him that finds the error inform the world better, and never trouble himself to animadvert upon this, since I assure him I shall not enter into any pen, and in contest on the matter. As to objections which may lie against any of the proposals made in this book, I have in some places mentioned such as occurred to my thoughts. I shall never assume that arrogance to pretend no other, or further objections may be raised, but I do really believe no such objection can be raised as will overthrow any scheme here laid down so as to render the thing impracticable. Neither do I think, but that all men will acknowledge most of the proposals in this book would be of as great, and perhaps greater, advantage to the public than I have pretended to. As for such who read books, only to find out the author's faux pas, who will quarrel at the meanness of style, errors of pointing, dullness of expression, or the like, I have but little to say to them. I thought I had corrected it very carefully, and yet some mispointings and small errors have slipped me, which it is too late to help. As to language, I have been rather careful to make it speak English suitable to the manner of the story than to dress it up with exactness of style, choosing rather to have it free and familiar, according to the nature of essays, than to strain at a perfection of language which I rather wish for than pretend to be master of. End of the project. Gutenberg text, an essay on projects. Esperch by Gutenberg edition.